Welcome to Lending Forward, a podcast where we're lending every bit of what we know to our listeners. From real conversations and lessons learned deep within the industry to education and forward thinking. Together, we're lending forward. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our channels and connect with us on www.atlanticbay.com. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSConsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 203, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23452. Welcome to another episode of Lending Forward. I'm your host, Taylor Ellard, and joining me today is Ricky Carruth, 20 years in the business as an agent, over $1 billion in sales, and you're coaching agents for free with zero to diamond. Welcome, Ricky. We're so excited to have you.
Glad to be here. Good to have thanks for having me.
Yeah, for sure. So, number one real estate agent in Alabama, you've sold so many vacation properties along what? Alabama, Florida, Gulf Coast. You wrote two books. So tell me kind of what in the world got you on this path?
I've been on a lifelong journey just to help people. Help as many people as possible. And, I got in real estate to help people, ended up helping a lot of people buy and sell properties. And then, long story short, I had a lot of hardships, as an agent. And, at the end of the day, once I was about 17, 18 years in the business, I decided to try to help agents. So I wrote the books and started coaching agents. And, I've been doing that for 6 years now. And it's been a journey. So I've just been building my brand there, traveling, speaking, that kind of thing, and getting into other businesses, so it's been very interesting, the social media journey, working hard to create content, put content out there, try to learn what works, what doesn't work, grow your brand, and build businesses that can, hopefully help people. You know what I mean? So that's what it's all about for me.
Yeah. Well, you wrote two books, Zero to Diamond and List to Last, right? What were the inspiration behind both of them?
Zero to Diamond was the first book, and it's more so like the general philosophies, that really kind of go against the grain, honestly, than the mainstream coaching and training and stuff like that, because I'm not trying to sell people on anything. I'm more so trying to get to know them and see what it is they're trying to do, right? And then help them do it. So it's a completely different sales approach than what you'll get going like a mainstream training, brokerage training route. But that's how I built my business. And so I just wanted to share how I built my business with as many agents as possible. List to Last is more so about everything I went through during the crash of 2008, and kind of what you have to think about, in terms of market cycles and kind of how to navigate that, So that's what the second one's about.
I love it. Well, it kind of probably feels like that segues us into talking about market shifts. So right now, how many agents are you coaching?
Well, the coaching is free, right? So
right.
There's right now, currently, there's about 17,000 agents in the program.
Wow.
So we had about 50,000 on our old platform, and then we switched over to a new platform that's a social media platform and has a lot of bells and whistles and stuff. And so we have right now we're at 17,000 and growing. We just want to help as many agents as possible. I have thousands and thousands of testimonials, people that got to 100 deals, people that, tripled, quadrupled their volume, new agents that are crushing it, commercial people, luxury people, people all over the world. Right. So with that part of it, super rewarding, getting messages from people and stuff like that. But it's really cool, just to be a part of it and kind of, begin and push a movement towards, hey, you can actually be a nice person. You don't have to be so salesy. You don't have to push for the contract or handle objections. You can actually be yourself and see what you can do to help people and succeed at a higher level. Honestly, at least that's what I think.
Yeah, for sure. So any piece of advice that you're giving that is really working for your agents right now, specifically in your market, because we're located We're in plenty of states, but we're housed in Virginia Beach. That's where headquarters is. So where is headquarters for you, and how are you navigating? What are you seeing as far as sales prices go? Are they going up? Are they staying strong? Are you seeing seller concessions? How are those newer agents that got in when the going was good the last few years, and now they're like, I don't know how to write in a seller concession in my contract. What are you telling them and how to navigate it?
Yeah. So I'm in Gulf Shores, Alabama, right on the Florida line, right down on the beach. And prices have come down just as they have everywhere from the top. And every year it changes. You know, 2020, you know, was different than 19, different than 18, 17, 16. Every year is different. And this year is different from last year. And last year was a roller coaster. And the new agents that got in last year, I mean, you know, that was really tough for new agents. You know, we have to compete against 14 other buyers on every listing. Right. You know, buyers missing out on stuff, hard to get listings, you know, because they sell so quick. So inventory was super low. I mean, last year was tough for new agents. I would say this market is about the same, right? And I feel like every year is the same. I think that putting each year in a box and saying, well, this one's harder than that year and this, that, and the other kind of sends the wrong message to the new agents. They need to understand that every year is going to be different. And it's all about how many people know who you are, right? The more people that know who you are, the more people you're going to have to do business with you. So at the end of the day, reading these headlines and articles and all the negative publicity and everything about the market and, you know, people saying this, that, and the other, you know, it's good to pay attention to and read, but it shouldn't affect your day to day whatsoever, you know. And the new agents got in the business to do it for 30 years. Otherwise, you wouldn't have spent all the time and money and energy to get your license. But yet, a lot of them quit after 6 to 8 months, and it doesn't make any sense at all because you got into this to do it for 30 years. Right. You know, what would it matter if it took you 2 or 3 years to really learn the business enough to do it full time, right? You still got 27 years that you originally dedicated to go out there and crush it. So that's what's mind-boggling to me is how quickly people quit, you know, when they realize how hard it really is to get started. But what's really cool is once you get started and get momentum, you know, it gets easier and easier, you know. And then, you know, you can build your business to the point that you don't even have to prospect anymore. You know, you can literally live off that database. I mean, once you reach $1 million in GCI, you can live off your database and make that $1 million every year. You know, I know a lot of agents that have done that. So the goal is to work and really grind it out until you make that $1 million, which could take 5, 10, 15 years. But once you get there, you know, you don't have to prospect anymore, right? And so for the new agents, it's like, who cares what you do year one, year two, year three? All that is literally you just learning the business. You know, if you get a couple deals, great. But the problem is we're comparing ourselves to all the other high producers when we're a new agent. You know, we see that we're really grinding hard and we got into this because we thought we were going to make a paycheck, and you don't really make a paycheck. You know, it takes a while to really get a deal. And we think, man, maybe we're not cut out for this. Mm-hmm. And then your prospects can hear that in your tone when you're talking to them. You know, they hear that you don't really believe in yourself or have a lot of self-confidence in what you're doing after a while. And that really hurts you, you know, and then that is a downward spiral that ends up with you out of the business for 90% of the agents. So my advice is don't even worry about what's happening right now in the market. Stay pretty focused on, you know, meeting at least 10 people a day, hopefully 5 great conversations, putting those people in your database to remarket to forever so they never forget who you are. And they, if they ever decide to do something, then there's a really good chance they're going to call you. But understanding like 95% low pressure, 5% high pressure, you know, pick and choose when you're going to really go for the deals. It doesn't have to be 100% of the time. And that's where a lot of agents lose. They're trained and coached the wrong way to be more aggressive at times when they shouldn't be aggressive. I mean, we're still under the discovery phase of the process of trying to figure out what the prospect actually wants to do, why they want to do it, when they want to do it, how they want to do it. But yeah, we're trying to get contracts signed and stuff because we're eager to get a paycheck. You just have to slow down. You know, this is a process and you have to enjoy that process.
Mm-hmm. I love that. And I think so many people don't ask buyers, you know, where do you think you are in the home buying process? Because where I think you might be, because I want to get that paycheck or I want to get that deal done. You know, I think a lot of people need to hear from their buyers and borrowers the same thing. But from our perspective too, we're getting no's, or we're not winning deals, or this, that, and the other. How are you coaching or helping them out and overcoming the no? Like, just, I've heard, like, you know, you're going to get a no. So what does that look like? Are you like, yes, thank you for giving me that no today? Or how do you coach your folks?
It doesn't really matter if you get a yes or no. You know, that's the whole thing. The whole thing is did we connect with this person? You know, did we feel a connection with them while we're talking to them? Do you really feel like they know who you are, you know, as a person? You know, most agents are super hardworking. They're dependable. They're honest. They're professional. You know, they want the best for their clients. They're really good people. They work really hard. But the problem is we're not communicating that. We're not articulating who we are as people mm-hmm. to our prospects, because we've been trained wrong. We've been trained improperly to do that. We've been trained to go after the deal, handle objections and all that stuff. And it's not really showcasing who we are as a person. And so if you can break through and really give your prospect that taste of who you are and really get good at that, like talk to them like family. I could care less about the yeses and the nos. I mean, if I connect with somebody, then that's 10 to 20 deals to me over the life of my career.
Right.
You know, through that relationship, it doesn't matter to me if they want to do a deal today or not. When I walk into a listing appointment, I'm not trying to get the listing. I'm trying to understand what they're thinking, you know, why they are even considering selling this property, this amazing property, you know, and I want to understand the backstory so I can understand motivation and what we're really doing here. Until I understand that, I don't even know how to help them. I don't know how to come up with a game plan. I don't know what step to tell them to take next and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, as far as no's go, that's okay. Well, listen, is there an agent you would work with if you were to do something? No, great. I'd love the opportunity to work with you when that day comes. Would it be all right if I just stayed in touch with you? Yeah. Cool. What's a good email for you? Right. What's your cell number? Let me take all this down. I'll stay in touch with you. If you ever need anything in the world, even if it's to come help you move a piece of furniture, give me a shout.
Right.
So, I mean, collecting information, making great first impressions, remarketing to these people forever. That's the conversion, right? Not closing the deal.
Yeah, I think that's important. And you're so right. If you just talk to people like family and let them know who you are as a person so that you, one, have those conversations, you listen for the pain points, how you can solve solutions when the time does come. I will say I would love to talk to you on branding and social media, because you have a huge following, something you should be very, very proud of. And it's something that's attracted me to you. And so I ask, what should mortgage bankers and agents, and I'm just bracketing them together because we're all working towards the same thing of helping homeownership along. What should they be doing daily, weekly, monthly? Where should they be? What is your kind of outlook on that when you're coaching?
I think the number one thing people kind of miss with social is actually putting in the hours of engaging with other people on the platforms, you know, searching your area, liking, commenting, posting, following, DMing people that are in your market, you know, whatever your niche is, you know, and that's how I built Zero to Diamond. I looked up real estate agents and I started engaging, you know, and that's how I started to build my following, was through engagement, reaching out to them, seeing how they're doing, how's business, if there's something I could do to help them, stuff like that. And when you have a you make a great profile that really is an extension of who you are and really kind of showcases exactly what it is you do. You know, if you're, say, a real estate agent in this market, you know, whatever. When they go to your profile, they need to be able to see that immediately, you know, who you are and what you do. That way, when you do engage with them and they click on your profile, they see exactly who you are, what you're doing and all that stuff. And then they're going to start looking at your posts. Right. And so then that's where the consistency of posting comes in, where when you're getting, you know, 30 likes per post and you think, oh, man, I'm just not getting anywhere. Yeah, you are. Number one, 30 people that liked your post is a lot. And it's free, by the way. And then that doesn't even count the impressions that were made. That's the people that actually engaged with your post. You know, as a real estate agent or a loan officer, your geographical, like your niche, like population that you want to connect with is so small compared to the overall internet and the amount of people that are online. You know, there's billions of people online, but yet you're in a place where the population is, say, 100,000. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like, if you grow a following of 1,000 people, that's 1% of the people in your market. Huge. You know, if you have 1% of the market share of any market, you're the number one agent. People right. don't get this. You know, they think they need to have 10,000 or 100,000 followers to really crush it on social. I know a guy that gets less than 100 likes per post on Instagram. He sold 65 million last year on Facebook and Instagram, totally organically. No, not a single dollar in paid ads whatsoever. Why? Because he gets on there and he spends time engaging with people mm-hmm. and really connecting with people and seeing what it is that he can do to help them. You know, and so we, you know, nobody's spending time on these social platforms. I answer every single DM. I respond to every single comment. I try to engage as much as possible, and that's really the key to it. You know what I mean? So it's kind of a combination, you know, posting consistently, engaging consistently, you know, and really connecting with people, you know, on these platforms. I mean, it's honestly really simple, and people make it super complicated. They're scared to do it. Right. You know, and then they start posting generic content, you know, and then that's where things just get ugly.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's the lost opportunity that people just don't think about. They think of social media and they just have to show up. And it's like, yeah, but it's so much more than that. You have to be social. You have to go spend the time and engage. And that's where I think most people kind of really mess it up. What would you say is like the number one need for agents from lenders right now?
Well, just service. You know, taking care of their clients, you know, it's really hard for lenders. It's really tough because, you know, each lender, you know, if they have 10 good agents that send them business, you know, they're good, you know, and it, but to get those 10 is tough because most people are pretty loyal to their, to whoever they're using now, because once you find a good lender, a good loan officer, mortgage broker, once you find someone that's really good at taking care of your clients and staying on top of everything through the deal and really making everything go smooth, it's really hard to peel that agent away from that lender. You know, right. they don't want to risk having a bad experience, even though they think you might be amazing. It's really hard for them to take a risk mm-hmm. to see if you're amazing when they know that they have a guaranteed amazing experience over here. And right. so that's what's really tough for lenders. Because at the end of the day, sure, there may be a couple of programs. You may be able to get a little bit better rate or close a couple of days earlier. But all in all, it's pretty apples to apples. Mm-hmm. Honestly, it's just like for real estate agents, we just want the deal to get done and we want it to be a smooth transaction. We want our clients to be incredibly happy, you know? And so if you have all of those components as a lender, you give great service, you know, you make it go smooth and everything's great. And the client is just incredibly happy with the way the lender communicated with them and file, blah, 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 blah. You know, the lender communicates with the title company and the whole nine yards. If you have all those things in place, you know, it's still hard to go out there and say, hey, I'm great. You know, use me, give me a shot. It's almost like you're begging for business and stuff, but I think it's all relationship based. And I think it goes back to what we were talking about with new agents. You have to be super patient and just really try to make those connections and, you know, really go deep, you know, and make those great first impressions and then stay in touch, because you never know when the day is going to come when that real estate agent decides or something goes bad with their last lender or, you know, whatever. There's a number of things that could happen where they want to use a different lender. Also, newer agents that are still trying to figure out who that primary lender is going to be. See, that's mm-hmm. a huge opportunity right there, but you never know which agents are going to be superstars and stuff. But I think new agents is a really incredible play for mortgage people. People that are within their first year, still trying to figure the game out, trying to figure out, you know, trying to put the pieces of the puzzle together. you know, going after those guys, because if you can lock into one, give them great service, and then they sprout into this one of these top producers, mm-hmm. there you go. You know, right. you've got one of your, yeah, you've got one. So it's a grind just like anything else.
Yep. Absolutely. Well, one piece of advice for 2023, where are you going? What is Ricky Carruth? What are your goals? What's next?
A lot of things. Like we're launching different companies. I'm traveling and speaking a lot. I'm doing all day workshops. You know, what are we not doing? So it's really interesting. You know, the landscape of 2023, it's kind of like, this year was kind of like, okay, this is our new life. You know, this is the way that it's going to kind of be a little bit slower than the year before. It's going to be interesting to see like how slow it really is and what that really looks like. You know, as far as transactions, prices, stuff like that. But one thing that I learned during 2008 was that closings never stop regardless. So like for mortgage, you know, lenders, for, you know, real estate agents, more so real estate agents than mortgage people, you know, we get paid, whether it's a cash deal, you know, we get paid, but you guys get paid on refinances. We don't get paid on. So there are some things going on there, but the cool thing is that, you know, we get paid a percentage of the price, right? But we get paid based on number of transactions, and transactions never stop, mm-hmm. you know? So that's the cool thing. And regardless of, if it gets ugly next year, which I just don't believe, you know, there's no way, right? There's so many indicators, right? So like, right. You know, pre-foreclosures, you know, delinquent properties is nothing. It's absolutely nothing. Could that increase some? Sure, but it's going to be nothing compared to 2008. Inventory at the peak in 2005 or six, whatever, was 4 million units. We're like at around 1 million right now. Mm-hmm. It's ridiculous, the amount of inventory and pre-foreclosures and stuff like that. It's a supply and demand game, and there's plenty of demand. There's mm-hmm. plenty of pinned up demand right now. And so whenever we have a slowdown like we have right now, it's the same thing that happened during the pandemic and the 45-day shutdown. When transactions kind of dropped 20%, I knew that was just going to build up, you know, demand that would explode once they opened the economy back up. Same thing right now. I mean, there's so much demand. We just had record number of millennials move in with mom and dad this year, right? So what do you think they're going to do come springtime?
They're going to be ready.
They're going to be ready to get out of there, right? They're going to be ready to go, you know, buy a house or rent. You know, they may go either way, but we're going to see an influx. You know, I think springtime is going to be crazy. Like I think springtime is going to be like a rush of people because I believe interest rates will be lower. They've already come down quite a bit from the peak. I think interest rates are going to be even lower, and we're not going to have, where inventory is still going to be low, but yet we're going to get a nice little rush of people who pinned up demand. Like people are like the more like millennial, I mean, Gen Zers mm-hmm. are locked in with mom and dad. You have a lot of people that are kind of sitting on the sidelines that want to buy a house, that are kind of renting right now, right. that are just dying to own a house, yeah. you know? And I think when that warm weather hits in the spring, it's just going to be like, you know, we'll see. I mean, but the cool thing is it doesn't matter, right? That's the best thing about all this. We can make all these predictions all we want to and say this, that, and the other and stuff. But even if things get incredibly ugly, we still win. You know, mortgages are still going to continue to happen by the truckloads, and so are closings. And if it gets super ugly, that means prices are way lower, and there's going to be mm-hmm. so many investors sitting around waiting to scoop these deals up. But that's, in essence, that's why it's not going to happen, because all the cash on the sidelines, if prices come down even a tad, investors are sitting there waiting, sitting on cash, waiting to gobble up, you know, any inventory. And there's too many people sitting on 3.5% interest rates that aren't moving. I mean, it's just, it's nuts. Like the current situation is insane. Builders quit building, you know, like 2023 is going to be really cool. I'm excited.
I'm excited. Me too. Transactions will happen. Well, thank you so much for being on Lending Forward, Ricky. We appreciate your time.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed it. Good to see you.
Thank you. You too.
Thanks again for listening to the Lending Forward podcast powered by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. Don't forget to tune in next week and make sure you subscribe to our channel. Remember, we all play a part in lending forward. So go lend something forward today.